Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. I've entitled the message this morning, A Meeting with God. Have you ever had a meeting with God? I'm not talking about a little 10-minute devotional. I'm not talking about one of our Baptist prayer meetings. I'm talking about a soul-arresting, sin-convicting, supernatural meeting with God. There's a man in your Bible that we just read about. His name was Jacob. Jacob had a meeting with God quite like that. And let me just kind of set the table for you this morning. Some of you may know this story, some of you may not. But Jacob was a man who grew up in a dysfunctional home. His mom and dad, Isaac and Rebekah, played favorites with their two twin sons. And Jacob had an older brother by the name of Esau. And Esau was quite a bit different from Jacob. I want you to know this. In Bible days, Bible names often meant something. Quite a bit, told you quite a bit about that person's character. And when Esau was born, Jacob was a close second. He came out of his mama's womb hanging on to his brother's heel, his ankle. And the name Jacob literally means heel grabber. Heel grabber. Say that with me. Heel grabber. How would you like to be named heel grabber? We may have some heel grabbers back here in the nursery this morning. Isn't he precious? Here comes a little heel grabber. But Jacob's name, heel grabber, tells us a lot about who he was. He was a schemer. He was a deceiver. He was a cheater. He was a liar. He was what we might call today a control freak. He would do anything to get his way. He would use anything in his resources, his wisdom, his wealth, his power to get what he thought was best for him. And so Jacob grew up with Esau in this Jewish home. And Esau had something Jacob wanted. Now in the Jewish family, the oldest son received when the patriarch of the family died, he received 2/3 of the family inheritance. 2/3. They called that the family birthright. And then when the patriarch of that family died, he also passed down a spiritual blessing, laid his hands on his oldest son and passed along a spiritual blessing, not only a financial blessing. And so Jacob wanted all that. But he wasn't supposed to have that because he was second born. And so through a series of trickery and deceit and lying, he tricked his brother Esau and deceived his dad Isaac into getting the family birthright. Now, Esau, how do I say this nicely? Esau wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. And when he finally figured out what Jacob had done to him, he was going to kill him. And let me tell you, Esau and Jacob were as different as night and day. I mean, Esau was a big strapping man. He was a man's man. He loved the outdoors. He loved to hunt. He loved to fish. Maybe he was from Montgomery County. He walked like a man, talked like a man, looked like a man, smelled like a man. He was a man's man. And Jacob, though, was quite a bit different. He was a mama's boy. He was kind of domestic. He spent most of his days, in my mind's eye, doing makeovers, you know. Are y'all with me? All right. And so, but Esau had something that Jacob wanted, and Jacob wound up getting that family birthright. Esau sold it to him. And so when Esau figured out what his little brother had done to him, he made the statement, I'm going to kill him. Well, Rebekah, Jacob's mom, said, we better get you not only out of town, we better get you out of state. And so she sends Jacob hundreds of miles away to her brother Laban's house. And that first night when Jacob is away from home, he's all alone. He's in a place called Bethel. And he's by himself for the first time in his life. He's lonely, and But it is there that Jacob meets God for the first time. And God promised him his presence. God promised Jacob his protection. And God promised... How many of y'all remember the old story and the old song we used to sing, Jacob's Ladder? Well, that was that encounter that he had with God. And so God said, I'm going to bring you back home when the time's right. And I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to bless you. And so that kind of gets us up to snuff. It's 20 years later. And Jacob is now coming home a very wealthy man. He's got 11 sons. He's got two wives. He's got maidservants. I mean, Jacob's got all of that and more. And he's wondering now, 20 years later, I wonder if my big brother's still going to hold this thing against me. I wonder if he still wants to kill me. And so what he does is he sends some messengers to Seir, which is where Esau lived. And they kind of, you know, tried to pick Esau's brain and tried to figure out, you know, what are you going to do to your little brother now that he's coming home with all his family and his wealth and his animals? And so they come back to Jacob and said, your big brother's so happy that you're coming home, he's bringing 400 men out to greet you. Now, what would you think? Right? And so Jacob must have been Baptist because he drops to his knees and gets in one of those panic prayer meetings. And he begins to remind God of his promises that he'd made to him 20 years ago. God, you said you were going to provide for me. You said you were going to protect me. You said you're going to bring me back home. You said you're going to bless me. Now, what are you going to do about this situation? My brother still wants to kill me. And then he gets up from that panic prayer meeting with very little peace. And then Jacob reverts back to his ways of doing things. He begins to use his way of thinking, his wisdom, his strength, his resources, his power to take care of what he needed to take care of. And so what he decides, in order to appease Esau, he's going to give him a great lavish gift of 540 animals. You can read about this in Genesis 32. Now, if you gave me 540 animals, that wouldn't be a blessing, that'd be a curse. I wouldn't know what to do with 540 animals. Don't have anywhere to put them. Can't afford to feed them. But in those days, that was a very lavish, lavish gift. And the night before they're heading out to greet Esau, he sends his family and his maidservants across the Jabbok River. He says, tomorrow we're going to meet my brother Esau. And then Jacob crosses the river, Jabbok. And he's in camp now all by himself. And he puts himself between Esau and his men and his family. Jacob is now all alone. He's scared. He's afraid. He really doesn't know what to do. He's come to an end of himself. And I want to submit to you, it is only when you come to an end of yourself and your wisdom, and your resources, and your strength, that God can do something with us. Jacob was ready for a meeting with God. And friend, let me just tell you, you may be kind of like Jacob here this morning. You've come to an end of yourself. You've got all kinds of issues and problems. You don't know what you're going to do about it. Let me just tell you, God not only owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, He owns the hills too. And He's able to take care of His children and His people. And so before we get started, I don't know if you're taking notes this morning. I don't know what you're doing this morning with the message. But I want you to get this in your spirit. There are three things, at least three things, that happen when you have a supernatural meeting with God. Are y'all ready? I'm going home. Are y'all ready? All right. A meeting with God, first of all, will leave you broken. Say that with me. A meeting with God will leave you broken. Now, Jacob, what we've got here is really a prayer meeting. Okay? Now, this isn't like one of my little prayers. Thank you for this food. Bless it to the nourishment of my body. And Lord, would you bless all the missionaries? I can't name one, but would you bless them? Amen. No, it isn't one of these kind of prayers. This is, have you ever been in a situation and you didn't really know how to pray or what to pray, or you just knew that you needed to pray and you were just going to hang on until God showed up. Well, that's what we've got here, that kind of prayer meeting. And so Jacob, you know, y'all, sometimes prayer meetings are kind of like a wrestling match with God. It's a struggle. You don't know how to pray, what to pray, but you're just going to stay with Him. You're just going to hang on until God. Anybody ever been through something like that? Well, that's the kind of prayer meeting we got here. And this is so symbolic of Jacob's entire life. I mean, Jacob had struggled with God. Jacob had struggled and wrestled with his father Isaac. Jacob had struggled with his brother Esau. And for the last 20 years, he'd been struggling with his uncle Laban. And now he finds himself in a struggle, a wrestling match. Who is this midnight wrestler that Jacob is wrestling with? Is this somebody that was long before the great Hulk Hogan? I mean, who is this midnight wrestler? Well, I believe this is what Bible scholars call a Christophany. There are times in the Old Testament when you have a New Testament appearance of our Savior. I mean, who was the fourth man in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Jesus. I believe Jesus was one of the three visitors that came to see Abraham. All throughout the Old Testament, you have these strange appearances of someone that the Bible simply calls, capital A, Angel of the Lord. And I believe that's who this is. Jacob is wrestling with none other than the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, I didn't think Jesus came along until Bethlehem. Well, I don't care what the two guys on bicycles in white shirts and black ties are going to tell you. Come on. But Jesus is, He always has been, He always will be. He is coexistent, co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And so if I still hadn't got your head and your heart wrapped around that truth, look at verse 31. Just as he crossed, verse 30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Now, the word Peniel, Penu, is the root word which means face of. And anytime you see El on the back end of a word or the front end of the word, it means God. And so Jacob is wrestling face to face with God. Wow! And Jewish theology, though, said that you couldn't see the face of God and live. No one could look upon the face of God and make it through that experience. And so Jacob's wrestling with God. Oh, carnal, self-willed, self-sufficient, control freak Jacob is struggling with God in this prayer meeting. And you know, God is wanting to get Jacob to the point that he will surrender to His will. And for 20 years, God has patiently been dealing with Jacob. I said for 20 years. He's been trying to teach Jacob how to live exclusively by faith. And Jacob had not yet quite learned that lesson. And so they're in this struggle, Jacob and the Lord Jesus. And now Jacob knew he couldn't whip God. Jacob knew he couldn't win, but he wouldn't let go and he wouldn't give in. That sound like any of us? Hello? And so God was going to break Jacob's will. And I don't know how many of you have ever had a dislocated joint. Charlie, you got one right now. Brother Shep, I can go all around the room. You know, you can't walk, much less wrestle with a dislocated hip. Am I right? Isn't that right? I mean, you can't do much. I don't know if it's broken, but it's definitely dislocated. And so he touches Jacob. And the Bible says that for the rest of his life, Jacob walked with a limp. Can't you imagine that? How many of you remember Chester on Gunsmoke? Can't you see? I just read my Bible, you know, I guess maybe differently than some of y'all do, but I can just see Chester kind of limping down to Shoney's for that breakfast bar. And all his buddies are sitting there. And what happened to you? Well, I met God last night. Somebody touched me. All God has to do to shake us up and break us is simply touch us. And I want to tell you, there are some folks here this morning. God put you here. God brought you here so that He might break us this morning of our pride, our self-sufficiency, our way of thinking, our control issues. Folks, a meeting with God will leave you broken, and guess what? You'll never be the same after that. Jacob limped for the rest of his life. A meeting with God will leave you broken. Have you got that one? Say it with me. All right. Secondly, here's the second truth, and it's in verse 26 and 29. A meeting with God will leave you blessed. Say that with me. A meeting with God will leave you blessed. Now, verse 26. And he said, now this is God, this is Jesus. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, Jacob said, "I'll not let you go unless you bless me." Verse 29. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he, the Lord, blessed him there. You know what blesses me about Jacob? More than anything else, as messed up and as prideful and as conniving and thieving and lying as Jacob was, he knew that he needed the blessing and favor of God upon his life. He needed that more than anything else. I want to tell you, when you have the favor and the blessing of God on your life, nobody can touch you. Amen. I had a fellow I pray with every Tuesday morning, and he told me a few weeks ago, and I didn't really understand what he meant, but he said, "Cal," he said, "Second Mile Church and their pastor has the favor of God on them right now." And let me just tell you, God's favor is all about grace. None of us deserve His blessing. None of us deserve His favor because of who we are. On my best day, doing my very best deed, doing my very best work, the Bible says that's like a filthy rag thrown in the face of a holy God. If you have God's favor and God's blessing on your life, you just simply need to just throw your hands toward heaven and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Now, having said that, let me say this. Before God can really bless you, He's first got to break you. And now Jacob is broken. I mean, he's not quite the same man now, right here in these verses, that he was for the last 20 years. He's no longer the man who deceived his father. He's no longer the man who cheated his brother. He's no longer the man who was trying to outwit his uncle. He's different now. And can I just say this to you? Friend, if you'd be willing to surrender your will to the Lord today, you have just opened up the windows of heaven, and God's going to pour out such blessing on your life and your family that you won't be able to contain it. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I don't believe in that mess. There are some things that are better than money. If you'll surrender, can I just say this to you lovingly? There is nowhere in the Bible, I can't find it, that God asked for half of somebody's heart. There is nowhere in the Bible that God asked for some half-committed, half-hearted, half-in, half-out, lukewarm relationship with Him. God wants all of you. He wants every fiber of your being. He wants everything that you are. And I'll tell you what, He's got the right to ask for that because the Father gave His all, gave His everything in the person of His Son for us. And so if you're here this morning, if you really want a blessing from heaven, then you've got to be willing to do like Jacob and allow God to break you. One of my favorite devotional writers is Oswald Chambers. And Oswald Chambers said, before you can enjoy the sweet nectar of the vine, those grapes have to first be crushed. You listen to the pastor, listen to the preacher this morning. In order for God to bless us, He's got to first break us. And when God breaks us and we surrender all to Him, then He can bless us. Have you ever wondered why over there in Malachi 3:10 is talking about tithing, and really it's talking about their hearts? And if they'll be obedient, if the Israelites would be obedient to the Lord in the area of their finances, God would open up the windows of heaven. I've always wondered, why didn't He say doors? Because doors are bigger than windows, right? But did you know you probably got four times as many windows in your house as you have doors, exterior doors. God's not only in the breaking business, He's in the blessing business. Look at your neighbor and say, praise God. There's one final one, and this is the best one. A meeting with God will leave you broken. A meeting with God will leave you blessed. And a meeting with God will leave you better. Amen. Say better with me. Better. How many of you like better? Amen. All right. Verse 27. So He said to him, the Lord, now remember it's almost daybreak, okay? Verse 27. And He said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. Little did Jacob know that he was about to have a whale of a homecoming with his brother Esau. God was about to bless him. And Jacob's life was about to get even better. Now, why did the Lord ask Jacob what his name was? I mean, didn't God know Jacob's name? Well, yeah. He not only knows your name, He's got your number. He's even numbered the hairs on your head, or some of you guys, the lack of. I mean, sure God knew his name. Do you want to know what God's doing here? By asking Jacob what his name is. Jacob, are you going to continue to live up to your old namesake? Are you going to continue to be a cheater and a deceiver and a liar? Are you going to continue to try to twist things around so you can get your own way? You going to continue to live that? Or are you going to admit who you are so that I can change you? And I tell you what, Jacob blesses me here. He said, you're right, Lord, I'm Jacob. I'm a liar, I'm a deceiver, I'm a schemer, I'm a supplanter. I'm a control freak. And I surrender to you today. And immediately, God changed his name. He said, you're no longer Jacob. You're no longer conniver, supplanter, cheater, deceiver. You are now Israel, a prince with God. In the Bible, anytime you've got a name change, it speaks of a new beginning. I said it speaks of a new beginning. Oh, me. And I like what G. Campbell Morgan says about this passage of Scripture. He says, this is the crippling that crowns. Jacob's life is about to be better. Little does he know that he's about to inherit all of Canaan land. And he's going to have peace with his brother. I mean, Jacob's life is about to get even better than it has been. Jacob now has a new name. He's got a new walk. And he's got a new fellowship with the Lord. I said Jacob's got a new name. He's got a new walk. And he's got a new fellowship. And you know what I've been praying this week? That we do exactly like Jacob and surrender everything to him. That we might get a new name. That we might not have a new walk. That we might have a new beginning, a new fellowship with the Lord. And some of you need a new relationship. You hadn't got that relationship yet. All you've got is your name on some church roll somewhere. You can be baptized so many times in the pond, every frog's on a first name basis with you, and still be lost. We laugh, but that's the gospel truth. What God needs to do is change some folks up in here today. Now get this picture in your mind. Jacob's, it's daybreak now. Jacob has seen God. And he's alive. Do you see the sunshine coming down on the Jabbok River and the ripples of water and the tremendous light that they, and Jacob's leaning heavy on that staff coming across the Jabbok River, and he comes into camp, and he says, "Girls, I'm home. Boys, Daddy's back." And they start getting up and running out of their tents, and immediately, they know Jacob's different. Immediately, they see him limping, and they know something is different about their husband and their dad. And they said, "What happened, honey? What happened, Daddy?" "I met God last night, and my life will never be the same again." Hallelujah. 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 And I've said all that to say this morning. Do you need a new beginning? Do you need to surrender everything to Him? Oh, yeah, you believe you're saved. But you're not experiencing all that God wants you to experience. I don't like the term rededication because that's something I do. I like the term revival because that's something God does. And you need revival in your life today. Can I tell you, God brought you here so you can have it. Or maybe you're here this morning. You need to be saved. Deep down in your spirit, you know it. Your life's no different today than when you claimed to have first met Him. There's been no spiritual growth in your life. If somebody asked about whether or not you were a believer, somebody else, "I don't know if he is or not. I don't know if she's saved or not." Oh, listen, friend. Don't you leave here today without driving that spiritual stake down in the ground and making sure that you're saved. I want to pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you need Christ, and you want to be sure that you've been born again from above, if you'll do what the Bible says do, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd be willing today to surrender everything that you are to everything that He is and begin a life of walking by faith, confess your sins to Him and receive Him, He will change your life. As a matter of fact, He'll give you a brand new life. And that comes through childlike faith. If you'd be willing to, you pray right there in your seat, right where you sit. "Lord, I know that my sins have separated me from You. I'm a sinner. But I believe You're alive today because You're the Son of God. And I know that You paid the price for all my sin 2,000 years ago. And right now today, I receive that work on the cross by faith. I surrender to you today. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that prayer or something like that and really meant business with God, I'm going to ask you to do something in just a moment, and we'll shout for joy here. I'm going to ask you to just step out from wherever you're seated and come forward and just tell me what you've done today. And then maybe you're in that other crowd. You're like Jacob. You need revival. You need to let go of some stuff. And you need to trust Christ and get a new beginning today. And get a new walk and a new name and a new fellowship with the Lord. Well, that comes through repentance and faith, just like salvation. Father, I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice right now that today we'd be obedient to what your word tells us to do. Give us the strength and the courage to come forward, making public today that we're going to follow Jesus and we don't care who knows about it. There are others that just need to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray and ask for the spirit of revival to fall fresh on their lives and their families. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. And you come. For whatever you need. If you need prayer, you come. If you prayed, received Christ, you come. I want to know about your decision. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.